Yeah. Check. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you're feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams.
Happy Friday, you guys. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. It is June 6th, 2014. What a crazy week we've had. There's a lot of stuff going on this evening on the Anti-Media. We're going to try and balance out the news that you heard on Monday and Wednesday. We're going to talk about some signs that we live in a hologram, also known as the Matrix. We're going to talk about Senate Bill 1381. And we're going to talk about Monsanto and their Roundup goodness. And we're going to talk a little bit about what the planets are doing right now and how it affects us. I've noticed that people have been a little more loonier than normal, and it's definitely, there's definitely some correlation between where the planets are hanging out and how the little peoples on this planet behave. Call me crazy, but I've noticed some correlation. First things first, though, the other day on the 2nd, we voted on Prop 30, I'm sorry, not 37, Senate Bill 1381, which, if you don't know, was called the cleaned-up version of Prop 37, and I read the entire thing to you guys last week, in case you didn't have time to check it out. It was pretty good. There were a couple parts of it that I was like, eh, okay. But bad news, it didn't pass. So 19 votes were in favor, 16 votes opposed. We needed two more votes for it to pass. So it failed to attract the support from groups that might have backed it. This is coming from foodnavigator.com. They reported on the 3rd, which was the day after that we voted. They say that, let's see here, it was a cleaned up version of GMO labeling initiative. We didn't attract proper backing because concerns that it would lay firms open to frivolous litigation and contained overly restrictive stipulations over natural labeling. SB 1381 contained no reference to natural claims and excluded meat and dairy from animals fed GE feed from its labeling requirements, a bone of contention in some other GMO labeling bills. That was one aspect that I didn't agree with. We should know what the animals are eating that are consumed, because in essence, you're still being affected by that. If they're eating crap, they're going to be made of crap, and then you're essentially eating crap. So nobody wants to eat crap, right? We want to eat real food. We're all pretty PO'd about this. So it would have authorized the general attorney general or an injured resident to bring an action against a food company in breach of the legislation, and allow courts to award successful plaintiffs reasonable attorney fees and costs. It would have prohibited courts from awarding monetary damages. While supporters of SB 1381 celebrating the success of the Vermont labeling bill, we're very disappointed. Well, obviously we're disappointed because big money is lobbying, and it's we're not being able to know what's in our food. So what are we going to do about it? We've made some noise on the streets. People are growing food everywhere. Well, the ones who can. But what do you do if you don't have a place to grow food? What do you do if you're on welfare, you don't make a lot of money, and you can't afford organic food? Where does that leave you? I know a lot of people are in that boat right now. A lot of Americans are on food stamps, and I don't know if you're able to go and use those food stamps at farmers market, but that would be something to look into. But what I suggest is get out of your house, turn off your devices, and go talk to your neighbors. You know those people that kind of live in the same area as you? You should make friends with them. I know this is weird. I know this is crazy talk, but it might benefit you just a little to say, hi, neighbor, how's your day? And just start building a relationship with them. I've been slowly doing so the last couple years in the neighborhood where I live, and it turns out not only are my neighbors pretty cool, but they have similar interests as I do in regards to food. Lady who lives around the corner is actually responsible for putting community gardens in the schools, right in the community where I live, and I had no idea. And here I am advocating about organic gardening and the importance of sharing food with our neighbors, and this lady literally hop and skip away, and she's on the same mission as me. So her and I are going to get together. We're going to start trading crops. And we've got a few other neighbors on board. So if you can, and you can, and I give you the courage to do it, just get out of your comfort zone a little and try and build a little bridge between you guys. I've convinced the man around the corner that he should be the greens guy. He should just grow the greens. And that's what I'm thinking we'll do is I'll give each person a different crop. That way they become proficient in that one particular crop. And then we can all just switch and swap and trade and be merry and joyful. What I'm finding is, I've shared with you guys, I've got this square box garden. I've got several things going now, lots of things. But I feel like I can't do one thing very well. You know, it's a learning curve. I'm still trying to figure this out. And you can read as many books as you want, but nothing compares to gardening when you're actually doing it. I've been encountering this little pest. I think I told you. This guy is all about my cabbage. And I've tried neem oil. And the thing that's been suggested by a lot of people is organic BT. Not sure I feel about that. So I'm going to try some alternative things like garlic water solution, fish oil solution. So I'll get the results on those things. Hopefully the neem oil gets rid of this little guy. We'll see. So I might lose my cabbage. But it's okay because I've got more seeds and I'll just become more proficient as time goes on. The trick is not to be discouraged. Because it can be discouraging, especially when you put so much time and effort into nurturing this thing. But instead of saying, oh man, this sucks, now I don't have this vegetable, I'm saying, you know, I'm going to learn from this, and the next time I grow it, the suckers are going to survive, and it's going to be beautiful and bountiful and amazing. So I'm pretty excited because my dwarf Siberian kale and my beets should be ready in a couple days. I'm probably going to harvest tomorrow, which is awesome. We're celebrating our March Against Monsanto success via party. So I shall feed my friends real food tomorrow, and I'm very excited about that. I've also been able to harvest the kale, like, every couple days. It's spectacular. And I'm seeding right now in, like a $20 little hydroponic seed starter. I've got so many things. But what I do is I bought some natural plant starting cubes, and they're made from natural materials. They're biodegradable. And they're called Root Riot. I really like the texture of these. They come in like a bag of 100. They're awesome. They're ideal for soil or hydroponics. So because I have both kinds of systems, I utilize these. I really like them, guys. It's called Root Riot. So check those out. So I got all my baby seeds hanging out in those little cubes, and I planted those 6 days ago. And I'm checking them, like, anxiously awaiting. Got about 100 plants just waiting to go in the ground. I've got my second box up, which I'm so stoked about. And right now I'm awaiting all my herbs. So oregano, thyme, cilantro, parsley, basil, sage. I'm going to start some pumpkins, several different kinds, some watermelon, some red onions, some more lettuce, and some more cabbage, just in case I can't be successful against my little pests that I have. I did have a failed attempt to sprout some things like a month ago. My carrots and my bell peppers and my celery and my melons and my jalapenos and my squash did not come up. And sometimes that happens. Don't get discouraged. That's my message about gardening, is instead learn from the moments that didn't work as you intended and make friends. If you pronounce to the universe, you proclaim, like, I need help, I swear, be amazed. people will just randomly, not really, but quote-unquote randomly appear almost to offer you advice. So after I said that last week, like, I need help with this, my neighbor was like, oh, did you know I'm a gardener? And I was like, thank you, universe, I appreciate that. You know I needed some help with this. But it's going really well. I'm enjoying it. In fact, I was late to work this morning. So I get up early, and I have to be work at 9. So I come out in the backyard at like 5 past 8. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm gonna hang out here for like 10 minutes, and then I got to go. Whoa. It was like 8:55. And I was like, okay, LaVon, now you're late for work. Congratulations. I didn't even realize, and this is a problem I'm having, is like I love it so much, I don't want to leave my garden. I just want to hang out in it all the time. Thinking about just like not showering anymore, just like pitching a tent, living in the garden, and just not going to work. What do you guys think? You think that's a good idea? That's what my soul wants to do. I just want to hang out in the dirt all day and plant things. So that's my new goal, guys. I'm working towards that. And that brings me next to our next topic. I read a really interesting article today called 16 Signs That You're a Slave to Matrix. Caught my attention because I often refer to this dimension as the Matrix. If you guys have been listening to my show for a while, I've had several programs on talking about the science that supports the fact that our perceived world is a hologram. We are holograms living an unexplainable experience. And this article is on the website called themindunleashed.org, which is a pretty cool website. They have a bunch of different things, and I'll read to you a few articles from them today to kind of give you a different perspective. Because if one's aware, which I think you are, because you're seeking some information, right? You know that there's all this turmoil and all this quote-unquote bad stuff that's happening in the world around you. And you're right, it's going to exist all the time. And especially here in the country where I live, America, feel betrayed so often by what my country represents, what my country should be, could be, in even more like the type of personification or the type of persona that America as a whole has obtained. Like if you talk to people in other countries, they have this outrageous notion of how people here behave, and it disgusts me because as a whole unit we're pretty horrible. You know, we go around imposing our beliefs on everyone and playing this warlord and stealing everybody's resources, but oh, we're the home of the free and the land of the brave. My toe. It's called it's called false reality. You know, it's like the illusion of freedom. I was really excited about tonight's show, you guys, because I had this live debate planned for you. Turns out that two guys that I know, one works in the center where I work, and the other is a client or a patient. And I was leaving my office yesterday, and I see both of them sitting next door at the little restaurant / bar, like, arguing, like, loudly. So I know both of them, and I'm like, hey, guys, I didn't know you guys knew each other. What's going on? And they're like, oh, yeah, I went to high school with this guy. We hate each other, but we love each other. One of them is a proclaimed liberal. The other is a proclaimed conservative. And we were going to have a live debate tonight talking about the same list I'm going to read to you guys. I was going to propose these questions to them and try and get a feel for how these people are thinking. And my intention was to perhaps give them an objective perspective, one that instead of arguing about all the stuff and things within our society, why don't we just agree to be people and take care of each other? Isn't that the craziest notion you've ever heard? So, 16 Signs That You're a Slave to the Matrix. This was published on the 2nd of May, and it begins with this. Today's world is a strange place. Agreed. We are inundated with signals from early on in life encouraging each of us to walk a particular path, establishing blinders on us along the way to discourage us from looking for alternatives to what the herd is doing or thinking. Life is so complex that over time, if we are paying attention, we realize that there are an infinite number of possibilities to what the human experience could be. And we come to see that the world is on fire because individuals all too infrequently question why things are the way they are, failing to notice that their mindset or behavior needs adjustment in favor of more intelligent, commonsensical, or sustainable patterns of existence. I could not agree more. Not to be overly critical of anyone's lifestyle choices or personal situation, the following 16 signs that you're a slave to the matrix are meant purely as an observational approach to helping you identify the areas of your life where you may be missing an opportunity to liberate yourself from someone else's destructive design for your life. Read on or listen on and take a moment to comment. Call me, guys, if you want to talk about this. I may challenge your very existence. And if I do, call me. Let's talk about how I'm wrong. The first one here is you pay taxes to people that you'd like to see locked up in jail. This is perhaps the biggest indicator that we are slaves to the matrix. The traditional notion of slavery conjures up images of people in shackles forced to work on plantations to support rich plantation owners. The modern day version of this is forced taxation, where our incomes are automatically docked before we ever see the money, regardless of whether or not we approve of how the money is spent. How do you feel about this? Okay? Think about it. As a typical American, we feel that is our duty to pay our taxes, right? Like, we've been told, like, yeah, this is how you contribute to your society. And if you're going to be a functioning member, you've got to pay your taxes. But why? I mean, why should I? Why should I have to pay taxes if my money is going to support war and drone attacks on children? I don't agree with that, and I don't think it's okay. So what are we going to do about it, though? Like, what are we going to do about it? Do you find this to be evident in your life? How do you feel about paying taxes? Number two, you go to the doctor, but you are still sick. I talk about this a lot. As an aspiring, independent, holistic health practitioner, as well as a manager of a healing center, I am involved in the healing process every day. And I see various aspects of it because I'm in this alternative place, you know, and I often get the people who have tried the traditional way and they feel lost and they want to try something different just because they realize that they're not getting better. And modern medical care, for all of its scientific progress, has sadly become sick care, where we're rarely advised to eat well and to tend our mental and physical health. Instead, we are routinely advised to consume expensive medications and to get procedures that are pushed by the for-profit healthcare matrix. Do you feel this way? Have you begun to realize that modern medicine is not a preventative healthcare system? I actually went to medical school for a year. I'm trained as a medical associate, trained to give injections and draw blood. And I signed up knowing that I did not want to be a medical doctor. And my dad was so irritated. He was like, why are you doing this if you know it's not what you want to do? And I said, Dad, I must do this so that I can logically and without a doubt refute traditional medicine. I want to infiltrate from the inside out. I want to make sure that these things that are being reflected in the healthcare system, and not every doctor is this way, please. If you love your doctor and they take care of you, you keep that doctor. But generally speaking, doctors don't have any clue. They don't have any clue. Think about the history of our medicine. Less than 100 years ago, we were giving people cannabis. We were giving people, oh my gosh, heroin, and you know, all these drugs now that are illegal, used to be legal, and we've taken these natural compounds that exist in our planet and things that are here to help us, and we isolate one part of them, and then they become something else entirely different, and the good intention is no longer there, and then said thing causes all these other things. My favorite example, in something that's highly controversial, and something that I'm pretty sure I'm going to start advocating towards, is ADHD. This condition / quote-unquote disease is being identified often within children. And what the hell? When did being a normal, curious, vigorous, rambunctious, endless, energetic little creature become wrong? Who is the jerk who said, you know what, that child can't pay attention, they must have a mental condition, let's put them on these drugs? And the problem I have is that, one, you can't actually diagnose said condition because it has the symptoms of so many other conditions, which we've all made up, by the way. And two, teachers, schools get incentives to diagnose said conditions. And three, we're medicating children. We're stimulating them to be machines, and we're making their bodies become comfortable to taking these mass amounts of medicine. What's going to happen to that 5-year-old when she's 20 and she's in college and her body has become accustomed to this high-functioning aspect? Her medication is going to have to be increased over time, right? She's going to have a higher and higher and higher dose of this narcotic, which is not that much different from meth. So if I want to use meth just because, I would be arrested. But if my child doesn't behave, or if I tell you I can't focus, you'll give it to me in a pill, you make shit tons of money off of me, and turn me into a lifeless zombie while killing me slowly. That sounds much better. It's something it's really close to my heart. And what are we doing to our future generations? We've got to start taking our stance on taking control of our health, because we're all born perfect. And I think that the society we grow up in doesn't help us maintain that. You know, the food that we eat, the lifestyles that we typically live, being attached to these machines and engrossed in this reality instead of taking note of what matters. Because what do we know what matters? You know, we're bombarded with all of these things. There's so much conflicting information out there. I'm sure even what I'm telling you now is like, what? What is she talking about? Do a little research. Things that I do to stay well is I'm growing this garden. You know, it's a great sense of exercise. It's very good for just finding clarity. I look forward to it, and I'm nurturing these vegetables, and I'm putting my soul into them, and they taste like sex. If sex had a flavor that was awesome, that would be it. Like fresh vegetables from the ground. I'm kind of thinking that's my new sex, guys. I'm so about it. And nothing is more awesome. Like, you eat this real good food, you have this awesome sense of energy, and it's, you know where it came from. I know exactly where it came from. It's kind of ruining me, though. I'm turning into a food snob. I'm like, I don't want to eat anything that doesn't come out of the ground, in my ground. But, so you grow your own food, or you find a way to get real good food. And spend time alone. It's so important to clear your mind and just stop. Just be stagnant for a little while and breathe. How often do you do that? Hopefully more. Just be and think, you know, replay your day and try and process all the things that occurred in a healthy way. And if it doesn't always mean you have to be happy. Life is not always a joyful experience. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have moments of turmoil or discontent. That's normal, but just change your perspective and you can alter your world. You know, take a bad situation and turn it into something good. Be a converter. Take that dark energy and turn it into light. You can do that. So your physical and your mental state are very important. I would consider doing some research about chemicals and how they affect the body. Number three, this is one of my favorites, and I was hoping to have those guys on tonight, but we'll reschedule and we'll have our debate. You've picked Team Democrat or Team Republican, and you argue with your friends, family, and coworkers about politics. This is what the control strategy of divide and conquer looks like in our society. Both of the major parties are corrupt through and through, and independent candidates are not even allowed to participate in public debates. By believing in one of these parties and burning your own personal energy on arguing with other ordinary people, you are turning your soul over to the matrix and doing your share in making sure that we people will never be united against corruption. So that brings up a good point. And that's something I love to mention to people when I'm out and about and I'm talking about current events, which is always. And they say, oh, you know, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. And I'm like, cool story. You're also a person. And can't you and I just be people together right now? Do we have to put this label on ourselves? It happened to me at lunch today. I sat down at the bar, the restaurant. There was this nice man there with his computer like me doing work. We were having a great conversation until politics got involved. Then he, you know, I told him, I'm like, I don't participate in that. This is what I'm about. And he got really quiet. He's like, you know, I would consider myself conservative, but, you know, I've got some liberal views. And I'm like, can't you just be a person? And he looked at me with a perplexed look, and he thought for a moment. And then he crept a smile across his face. And then I saw his eyes change, you know. And he's like, well, Vaughn, that's the most refreshing thing I've ever heard. And I've never encountered a person who said that to me. He's like, that's pretty awesome. So why do we do this? Why do we feel the urge to pick a party and side with them? Maybe they have some things you agree with. That's cool. But why do you have to participate in that party entirely? I mean, you can have a bunch of different perspectives. I remember in high school, there's all these different groups of people. People like to organize themselves by ideals in color or skills, or I remember being aware of it at that time. Like, if you got in the quad, there were the jocks, okay? Over there, those are the seniors who like to smoke weed. Okay, over there, those are the band people. Okay, now over there, the goths, and then we've got why do we do that? I know as humans, we like to assimilate, and we like to be comfortable, but we shouldn't be so polarized. And I remember I was the one literally going from group to group because I had a friend in every single aspect of the segregatedness that just almost organically appeared within my school. And I remember even then people were like, wow, you really have friends everywhere. And I would say, of course, don't you? Like, why limit yourself? Don't say, I'm a Democrat and I don't like Republicans. Instead say, I'm a human and I'm open to experiencing the perspective of other humans. That's just a whole other way to look at the other people who coexist in your society. Number four here. You work hard doing something you hate to earn fiat dollars. Work is important, and money does pay the bills. However, so many people lose the best years of their lives doing things that they hate just for money. The truth about money today is that we do not have to have money, but instead, an inflationary fiat currency that is privately owned and manipulated. Since it is still necessary to get by in this world, it is best that you get more value for your time by doing something that you enjoy, by working with people that you do not despise. It is easier than you may think to live on less money. We have to be willing to go against the grain to realize this. I couldn't agree more. I've been on every aspect of the financial pyramid. I used to have a lot of money. I've had a moderate amount of money, and I now currently have the least amount of money that I've ever had. No joke. I am quote unquote broker than I have ever been, also known as more happier than I have ever been. I was pretty materialistic in a past life. Stuff and things were what I thought I needed to be happy. Not realizing that all the stuff and things that have accompanied me since the time I came to exist here just needed to be developed. People are incredible, and I love seeing people at their best. And I feel like I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I have the most clarity that I've ever had, and I have the most focus. And it started slowly. It started with me finding my passion. And once I realized that I wanted to be a holistic health practitioner and help people find their optimal wellness through natural and innate practices, I, like tunnel vision, just started sprinting towards that goal. And I became much happier. I effectively lost 50 pounds 2 times by myself, before I became pregnant with my daughter and after, doing so by eating real food. And people were amazed because the weight was, like, falling off me. I can't tell you how many jerks were like, are you doing meth? And I was like, stick it up your ass! Because that was so insulting to me. Like, people could not believe that food and exercise equals health. I was like, are you effing kidding me? Like, are we so delusional that people just automatically assume you're on drugs if you're losing weight? Which is disgusting. Change perspective, please. Instead, what I was doing was eating real food, and as a result, I had more energy, and as a result of having more energy, I desired to move more, and because I desired to move more, my body was getting more exercise. Because I was getting more exercise, I became more toned and lean. It's not that difficult. Love, it really will, it will start a catalyst within you that is perpetual. So that's what I started with, and then I realized, you know, I'm living this dumb life, buying all this stuff. I can't keep consuming all this stuff. I started minimalizing things. I'm actually the sole provider of my family of four. My honey chooses to stay home so that we have more involvement in the lives of our children. how guilty did I feel, you know, pondering their existence in this previous model that I used to live within. It's like, who's going to raise my children when we're at work all day? What are they going to learn, and what are they going to take as guidance from watching me, quote-unquote, slave away to this dollar every day? I want more than that for them. I want them to be able to thrive on this planet and do what they love and not feel suppressed. So do what you love and strip away the things that are unnecessary, and you'll find mass clarity. For me now, it's all about food. I want to give everybody food, because food equals wealth, and health equals wealth. So I encourage you to do what you love, guys. Not step. Number five, you're willing to accrue personal debt to fund the acquisition of a consumer-oriented lifestyle. Each time a credit card is swiped, it creates digits on the balance sheets of the banks that are most involved with financial looting of the world today. These digits are then multiplied electronically by the fractional reserve system, which exponentially increases the power of these institutions. To participate in this, and then by agreeing to pay this fake money back with interest in order to maintain a certain lifestyle, is a strong indication and bound by one of the main tenets of the Matrix, consumerism. We spoke on that. You guys really don't need stuff and things to make you happy. I promise. I so promise. Number six, you converse with real people about the ongoing happenings of TV shows. I can't tell you how many times every day someone comes up to me in my office and says, "Oh my God, LaVon, have you seen Game of Thrones?" And I'm like, "What is that?" And then they flip and lose their minds. By now I've figured out it's a TV show because enough people have asked me. And everybody loses their flipping mind when they realize that I haven't watched it. TV is the most potent tool used for mind control, and the programming that is available will certainly fool, fun, or entertain is gearing to reinforce certain behaviors amongst the masses, dramatizing the ego's importance, over-sexualizing everything, glorifying violence, and teaching submissiveness to phony authority are the main features of modern TV. By taking what is happening on screen and making it a part of your real life, you are doing your job of supporting the Matrix desire to confuse us about the nature of reality, proving that something doesn't have to actually happen in order for it to feel real to people. That's crazy. Like, how much of your time, I'm not criticizing you, but just think with me for a moment, how much of your time do you dedicate to watching programs? Like, you set your DVR, or whatever it's called, I think that's what it's called, and you record these shows, right? Even though you're not home and you can't watch them in real time, you stock them up for when you can. And then how many hours do you spend watching them? Like, series of shows have, like, what, 16, 30, I don't even know how many episodes. But I imagine each one's like an hour. That's a lot. What could you be doing instead? Just ponder that, okay? If you love your TV, you do it. Whatever. Number seven, you don't have anything to hide from total surveillance. This freaks my freak. If it does not bother you that someone, somewhere, even right now, working for somebody is watching you, listening to your conversations, and monitoring your movements, then you're a good slave to the Matrix. Invisible surveillance is an insidious form of thought control. By using the logic of, I have nothing to hide, therefore it will do me no harm to be surveyed, then you are mindlessly admitting that you have an earthly master and not a sovereign body. This freaks me out. I love the fact that we live in this world of technology, only because it allows me to connect to people. Example, right now, talking to all of you guys all over the world, and I'm all the way over here. That's beautiful to me, that my voice, my passion can reach you. The aspect that I do not like is that it's being used in an ill manner. Always under the guise of that it's for our protection, this is what's best for us. Don't be surprised if my show gets cut out like right now, by the way. It's not the case. That's an illusion. You don't need Big Brother or whoever to take care of you. You can take care of you. You are the best doctor for you. You are the best everything for you. You just have to remember. And you should not ever be okay with some freakazoid looking through your selfie / porno on your phone, because that's personal, okay? Seriously. Number 8, you think the world would be safer only if governments had guns. This is a violent world, and criminals engage in criminality against honest people at every level of society, including from within the government. Sure, in a perfect world, weapons wouldn't be necessary for anyone, but sadly our world is anything but perfect. And firearms are indeed a very effective form of protection against common criminals and abusive governments alike. The willingness to forgo your right to self-defense is a sign that you've relegated personal responsibility to someone else. Having the masses advocate personal responsibility is important aspects of controlling them. Welcome to the Matrix. How do you feel about this? I personally have mixed feelings about guns. I used to think that they weren't essential for any common man to have to protect himself. But I was biased because my dad was murdered violently when I was 2 as a result of a man being upset and having a gun at his disposition. So I grew up hating guns and everything that they represented, and I couldn't understand why they were essential. Now as a grown woman with children of my own and being highly aware of what is occurring within the society I live in, I believe that I should be able to exercise my right to own a gun. And that is my personal decision. And I don't think anybody should be able to tell me whether or not I can. Nobody should be able to interfere with my ability to protect myself. That is a personal decision. Especially coming from someone who's been directly affected by violence because of a gun. And I still have this position. That should speak to you on another level. Number 9. This is something that ticks me off as well. You knowingly drink fluoridated water. Oh, the conversations I've had about fluoride. Oh, they're so great. Of all the health debates taking place today, the topic of fluoridated water is the easiest to understand. Okay, it's simple. It's a toxic byproduct of an industrial process, the same one that supports all this consumerism. Guess what? They're giving us all their poison. And you know, they tell us this fluoride is good for you. It helps with your teeth, which is a debate within itself. But if this is so, why is involuntary fluoridation of public water? Why then the involuntary fluoridation of public water is a medication without your consent, right? You're being given this thing without your knowledge or consent. Therefore, you can say that that's a form of slavery. Knowing this and continuing to drink fluoridated water is a sign that you're content with this. If you go to themindunleashed.org under number 9, there's a link, and it's titled 18 Scientifically Validated Reasons to End the Public Water Fluoridation. I encourage you to read that if you think I'm being a loony lady right now. Okay? Number 10, you knowingly consume toxic poisons like MSG and aspartame. These two chemicals are widely known to be toxic to the human body, and they are in a crap load of the stuff that you eat. Knowing this and continuing to poison yourself with tasty but chemical-laden processed foods is a sign that the Matrix has programmed you to place less value on your health and future than on your immediate gratification. We live in the society of buttons and instantaneous stuff. That is often reflected in our food choices. And sadly, most of the stuff that is processed is not the best for us. They have things like MSG and aspartame and all kinds of other lovely chemicals. And we trust them, right? We think, oh, we couldn't sell this if it was bad. That doesn't make any sense. This is America. Prime example, Subway. those mofos were pretty much giving out yoga mats, fancy yoga mats with stuff and things wrapped inside of them, disguised as delicious sandwiches. Oh, the trickery! Do some research on that. I'm not kidding. Those baguettes are faulty. It is yoga. They changed them?
Yep.
Since when?
Since like
okay, I'm behind on my yoga mat news. But apparently Subway is not having yoga mat bread anymore. But this should speak, the fact that they're no longer doing it should speak to the, should, red flag. Okay, so you were giving me yoga mat food, but now you're not. But how can I trust you? What else are you giving me? Like, they don't change it until we go, whoa, this is not okay. But the fact that they do it initially to make a buck is disgusting. We should be pissed off and, like, burning this place down. Just kidding. Don't do that. Hypothetically, okay? Hypothetically, burn it down. Not in real life. Not in this matrix, okay? let's see here. So just do some research on the chemicals and processed stuff that you're eating. My coworker has been on this quote-unquote paleo diet, also known as I'm eating real food, not junk. And he lost like 10 pounds in the last 2 weeks. Not by starving himself, not by working out excessively, just by eating real food, not crap. So it's pretty interesting. Number 11, you depend on the pharmaceutical industry complex for the management of your own mental health. The use of psychotropic medicines is rising rapidly in our society because people have been convinced that mental and emotional states can be classified as diseases, while the truth about natural mental health has been obfuscated by corporate media for a for-profit medical establishment. If you're taking psychotropic medications, then you are under one of the most potent forms of mind control available. Part of this control is to convince you that you have no authority over your own mind. This is perhaps the Matrix's most terrible lie. And by willingly taking these psychotropic medications, you are conforming to the worst kind of slavery. Not slavery, but slavery. And inhibiting your natural mental and emotional responses to the life stressors that are signaling to you that you need to change your behavior and habits. Every single function in your body has a purpose. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's wrong. And that is applied to every aspect of your life. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's wrong. When you have this pain in your back and it's sudden and sharp and intense, what do? Most people take a hot shower, put a heating pad on there, and pop some pills. Those are the three worst things you can do. You should apply some ice, but for no more than 20 minutes. You should eat some anti-inflammatory foods like greens. You know, you should make yourself like a nice green smoothie. And you should drink a lot of water. Heat increases inflammation. Drugs increase inflammation. Even though they dull the pain receptors, it's a trick. Your body's still feeling this pain. Your body's still having this problem. And it's calling out for your attention. But you're putting a Band-Aid on it. It's on your finger. And your options are remove the rubber band or cut it off. You're cutting it off. Literally. I don't need that finger. Instead, you can just take the rubber band off and circulation would remain, or you know, it would continue to be okay. We take the most extreme route. We go, oh my god, something's wrong with my finger. Slice. That is not appropriate. Recognize that you are a product of nature. Just because you interact with nature in a different manner than all the other things that exist here doesn't mean you're any different. We are all the same stuff, just organized in different ways. And I think finding that connection to not only the self, but to everything else helps reaffirm that. I literally see myself as a different version of you. And every time I meet somebody, I'm like, wow, that's a really cool version of me. Even if not, they're not my cup of tea, I find something about them that's pretty cool. And I try to focus on that. And I recognize that the things that bother me and other people are really things that bother me about me. That is probably the greatest lesson I've ever lived or learned in my entire existence. I kind of went off on a tangent there. Because the fact that we're giving people psychotropic medications and turning off their innate responses to take care of themselves drives me effing mad. I could go mad about it. So that's why we're moving on to number 12. You haven't stopped watching your local and national news programming. The mainstream news media is a tool of control and manipulation. And by continuing to support their ideas and worldviews by giving them your attention, you are volunteering to be a slave to this not-so-subtle form of mental programming. Even the local news is scripted at the national level by agents of the handfuls of corporations tasked with shaping our opinions of events. I mentioned to you guys earlier that I don't like movies or TV. It's very true. I don't partake in it. I did watch a little bit recently, this movie called RoboCop, and that made a lot of people crazy too. They're like, you haven't seen RoboCop? Ah! I was like, no. But the part about it that I liked is that they were talking about how society can be tricked. You know, they took this man and they turned him into their personal slave. And then they used him as a form of, they used him to manipulate the populace and to gain approval with the attempts of passing a specific bill. And it was very symbolic to me about the manner in which most things are kind of carried out in our society, and it was like a smack in the face, like, hey, you're so dumb, you don't even realize what we're doing to you, we're going to make a whole movie about it, and you're still not going to realize it. I was like, okay, this confirms it, this is exactly why I don't do any of this, this is exactly why I don't watch this crap, because it just pisses me off. So if you haven't seen RoboCop, or if you have, maybe y'all don't live under rocks like I do, I encourage you to watch it. It was pretty interesting, it was kind of heartbreaking. But it's probably one of the most interesting things I've seen, because I guess I don't really watch many movies. But look for alternative reports. If you're listening to this, you've obviously figured that out. But save your friends. Share the radio station, you guys. UCY is pretty awesome. There's so many programs. Do it in lieu of your traditional programming. Why not? You've got people like me who are talking about all kinds of things that you've probably never heard about. So it's good to change your perspective. Number 13. You're more concerned with televised sports or other mindless distractions than you are with the quality of your natural environment. The Deepwater Horizon, Alberta tar sands, the rise of fracking, the sacrifice of the Amazon, and Fukushima are all life-changing events that will severely impact our future on planet Earth. To be unconcerned with all of this while turning into a never-ending stream of sports trivia and distraction-based living is a sign that your self-preservation has been stolen and replaced with an impulsive tendency for trivial and escapism. Do you agree? I know a lot of sports fans. My dad is one of them. I was raised as a football player / Jedi. I can throw a perfect spiral and I use the Force. Thanks, Dad. But my point is this. My dad loves football. He's all about football. He would be a little irritated with me talking about this. But it's true, Dad. Sports is a distraction. It's an awesome form of distraction. Don't get me wrong. I love football. I love the athleticism that's required. I love the camaraderie. I love that people work together as a team unit. But on the other side, it's this big thing, right? It takes up a lot of our time, especially in other parts of the country like Detroit. They're all about their hockey, right? Those people love their hockey. Well, it's because they can't really do many other things. What instead if all those people were super into, like, indoor aquaponic systems? What if that's what Detroit was known for? Like, hey, our weather's cold, but we got a crap ton of indoor grown fish and vegetables, suckers. Like, you need to get on that. I'm just suggesting. We all need to get some new hobbies that are more sustainable and that are going to ensure the existence of our future generations. Unless this is Mother Nature's way of saying, we're just going to weed out these people things. They're kind of doing some havoc. Let's just get rid of them. Don't be a product of natural selection. You don't have to be. Number 14. You're skeptical of any area of life that hasn't been proven or validated by modern science. The very essence of science, let me remind you, is the inquiry into the unknown, implying that until science can grasp something, it is unexplainable. By discrediting or ridiculing experiences that other people have, which yet evades scientific understanding, like near-death experiences, acupuncture, or the life-changing effects of ayahuasca, then you are slavishly reducing your understanding of the world to a narrow range of possibilities. The matrix is made possible by the efforts of volunteer gatekeepers who are unwilling to think outside the box. Near-death experiences. We hear about these a lot, where people see God and, you know, they meet their maker. Acupuncture. I've had this experience where I've literally left my body and traveled up north and hung out at my friend's house. And I was like hanging out at my friend's house like I was really, really there, but I wasn't. I traveled hundreds of miles. Like, I have the ability to do that. But that sounds like crazy talk because it hasn't been proven to you, right? So you can't understand it. Ayahuasca is a sacred plant that people use to explore their minds. And I think that perhaps if in our society these things were more accepted, I think it should be like a birthright. Like, hey, congratulations, you're an adult. I want you to do this hallucinogenic and figure out the meaning of life before I force you to go choose your career forever and decide how you want to live your life, even though you're still developing as a person. Have fun! Yeah! What? Like, I remember as a young person, I'm in high school, and they're like, okay, time to pick your career path. What do you want to do forever? And I'm like, well, right now I just want to masturbate and eat, but I don't think I want to do that forever. It's not practical. We've got to change our mode of thinking. What if at 18, everybody had this mind-blowing, literally mind-blowing expansion experience where we got to connect to that source or whatever happens for that particular person, and then they can go be? What if that was the norm? Number 15, you've never questioned the popularized version of ancient history or the origins of our civilization. There are so many unanswered questions about the origins of our human race that point to a different version of human history, to what is taught in school. Two 20 history questions they refuse to answer in school. That's a link within this question 15 on themindunleashed.org. To discover some of the ways in which our history has been hijacked. By never questioning what we've been told about our origin, we are acquiescing to many of the imposed belief systems and narrow-banded views of human potential that the Matrix promotes. That's major to me, because my soul tells me that I'm very old, and my soul knows that I've been here for many, many lifetimes. And my soul knows what my purpose is, but my country tells me what my purpose is, and my history tells me what would happen if I refute it. But I refuse to accept that. I don't have to live in this place, and neither do you. Number 16, you haven't yet realized that you are a spiritual being living a human experience. That's probably the best one. That's what we are. And I think we spend too much time arguing about all of these words that we've created to separate us and make us more special and better than the next guy. I think we're all talking about the same thing, generally. We're using different words, and we're taking things too personally. If you could just do me a favor this whole next week, look at everybody as a different version of you. Change your perspective, alter your world, guys. Have an awesome week. You can join Nick and DB back on Monday at 8 o'clock and check out some of the other programs too. Bye, guys.
I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.